Our main speaker tonight is Paul.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Paul. I'm an alcoholic. And it's good to be here, and it's good to be sober. And I want to thank the Atlantic Group for inviting me in here tonight to do service in some small way. I love this group, seeing a lot of familiar faces and some new faces. It's really wonderful to be here again. And I see there's a lot of young people here probably dating for the first time in sobriety. So you might get a kick out of this. There's a guy who's sober, a sober man, and he's out on a blind date with a woman who's a social drinker. And they're sitting at the dinner table, and she's having a glass of wine, and he's having a glass of water. And she says, I notice you don't drink. He says, no, I don't drink. She says, "Not you don't drink at all? He says, not at all. She goes, not even one sip? He goes, not even one sip. She goes, what would happen if you took a drink of my wine? He said, well, just imagine you wake up. You don't know where you are. You don't know what day it is. You don't know what time it is. You got one shoe on. Your phone's gone. Your car keys are gone. You're totally disorientated. She says, that would happen to you if you took one drink. He says, no, it happened to you if I took one drink. And you think that's funny, you're probably an alcoholic, you know, and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I absolutely love Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is the last thing I tried, and the first thing ever worked. I tried many ways of stopping drink, and I could stop, but I could never stay stopped. These people give me something I never had before. You give me something between me and the first drink. And I come into Alcoholics Anonymous wanting to die more than I wanted to live in August of 1992. And I look back on it now, we talk about the grace of God. But I think it's so much more than grace. I think Alcoholics Anonymous is mercy. And the definition of mercy that I like is entering into the chaos of another person's life. And in August of 1992, when everybody, and rightly so, was going this way, the only people coming this way was Alcoholics Anonymous. And they carried this message. My message might even keep me sober. They carried this message, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what is the message we have here? We have, I think, Alcoholics Anonymous is one of the few places in the world where you see hope in human form. It's one of the few places in the world where you get the ability to live two lives in one lifetime. People say, oh, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I got my life back. I don't want my life back. It sucked. I got a whole brand new life in Alcoholics Anonymous. Are there people in my life when I was drinking? Absolutely. But things are different today. Because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the fellowship, my world is built on concrete today. Before we're worried, like that famous line from Days of Wine and Roses, we were lost in a sea of booze. And if there was any coordinates, it was pain and misery. And every once in a while, I'd wash up on the dry land because alcoholics were great starters, well, a new start. But everything was built on sand. And the first drink would always arrive because I had nothing between me and the first drink. And the thought of a drink would become the obsession to drink, an idea that crowds out all other ideas. And I would find myself drinking. Because of these people, my world today is built on concrete. And like that story I used to read, my little girl, the world out there will huff and it will puff because there's some days of spiritual warfare. But if I stay close to the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't have to drink no matter what. And I was an alcoholic who drank no matter what. They say the program of AA, oh, you're just an arm's length away from a drink. Because of your few people, I'm 12 steps away from a drink. And that's a long, long way from when I first walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. But I realize today that it's a reprieve, not a pardon. And there's certain things I must do to enjoy this sober life. There's a friend of mine went back drinking after a long period in AA. He said, you know how you get drunk in Alcoholics Anonymous? You give those steps back one step at a time. Take your will back in three. Become insane in two, so insane you tell yourself you're not an alcoholic or you don't cure and you get drunk in the first step. I seen people drink again in AA that I thought would never drink again. And that tells me there's certain things I must do to enjoy this life. The only way that I coast in Alcoholics Anonymous is downhill. And eventually it's lights out. So if you're new here today, I want to tell you what was told to me. If you hear nothing else that I said tonight, get something between you and the first drink. And you might say, Paul, these steps and traditions, it all seems like a foreign concept. We have an emblem in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a triangle inside a circle, and there's three parts to it. Unity, service, and recovery. And I believe you can put all three parts of that triangle into your life from your very first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. The unity, we do together what I can't do alone. We stay sober, I get drunk. Many meetings make it easy, few make it hard, and none make it impossible. I got to be a part of AA rather than apart from AA. Service. You put away one thing tonight, you're doing service in Alcoholics Anonymous. Why do I have to do service? Because I'm shackled to self. By the very biochemistry of this disease, my Holy Trinity is always me, me, me. Recovery. Maybe the 12 steps seem like a foreign concept. We have slogans. They were like the banisters to the steps. Easy does it. Live and let live. One day at a time. Now I'm here to tell you, not in the theoretical, but in the pragmatic. You can stay dry in two parts of the triangle. I've done it. You might even stay dry in one part of the triangle. I've done that too. But if you want to get what was said here tonight, if you want to get free from the one person you could never get free from, yourself, if you want to live in the one place you never lived, which is right here, right now, I got to put all three parts into my life and I got to do it every day. That's the type of alcoholic I am, because this disease never, ever goes away. And it's always looking for some way to get into my life. I don't need booze in my body to burn my life to the ground. I can do it in sobriety with untreated alcoholism. So if you're new here tonight, as I said, I want to offer you what was offered to me, and that's the hope of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what a great night to be speaking at a meeting of AA. Tomorrow is our birthday, June 10th, 1935. Well, I feel so blessed to be sitting in a time and a place that has Alcoholics Anonymous, that there was somewhere for me to go on the worst night of my life. I mean, for thousands of years, it was people like us couldn't fit in, took drink, couldn't fit in, ran at life with drink, ran away from life without drink. We were society's first outcasts. And because two men, in June of 1935, when Bill Wilson, in Akron, Ohio, had that divine thought, I wonder if I can stay sober by trying to help another man get sober. The turning point in all our lives, past and present. And Bill Wilson hadn't drank for 6 months. And I think the incredible thing about that was when Bill Wilson went to meet Dr. Bob, he didn't say to Dr. Bob, you know, I haven't drank in 6 months and you should do this and you should do this and you should do this. He said, I haven't drank in 6 months and this is what I did. And we're like that in AA. We'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And our birthday is not Mother's Day weekend when they first met. Because Dr. Bob, as it says in our literature, would not let go absolutely of some old ideas. And one of them was to attend a medical convention every year in Atlantic City. And he went there and got drunk. And was carried off the train in Akron, Ohio, so drunk he couldn't even walk. And in that moment in time, your life and my life hung by a thread this thin. But Bill Wilson didn't give up on him. I love the old, they just had the mantra up at the old South Bronx group, we don't give up on anybody. And Bill Wilson didn't give up on Dr. Bob. And he sobered him up. And tomorrow morning, Dr. Bob went to work. And that would be the last, June 9th will be the last day he took a drink. And the greatest spiritual movement in the history of this world was born. Because one alcoholic thought to himself, I wonder if I can stop drinking by helping another alcoholic. And that's what you did for me when I walked in here on August of 1992. Powerless over alcohol, wrapped up in step one with an unmanageable life. I'm powerless over alcohol. I got a body that won't let me drink and a mind that won't let me stop. I'm 22 years off a drink, and I realize tonight, and I hope I never forget it, one drink tonight, destination unknown. One drink creates a thirst I can't quench. When I controlled my drink and I couldn't enjoy it, and when I enjoyed my drink and I couldn't control it, and that's what separates me from the normal or heavy drinker. And I walked in that state of powerlessness and used people by helping me to stay sober yourselves, brought me not to a place where of power, that's just ego, to a place where of access to power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You brought me from the problem step one to the solution step 12 and through that journey. And I believe tonight that sobriety is a journey, not a destination. It's a process, not an event. Now, I know this may come as a shock to some people here tonight, but I'm not from the neighborhood originally, you know, and it's about 25 years now since I left my native Cuba, and you know, I grew up in Northern Ireland, and I often say the neighborhood I grew up in, if you didn't drink, you moved, you know, everybody drank. It wasn't like, oh, that's what alcohol does. I knew alcohol up close and personal. And I used to get a lot of mental gymnastics when I first came to AA. Why did I become an alcoholic? Where did I become an alcoholic? When did I become an alcoholic? You know the old alcoholic conundrum, what came first, the chicken or the keg, you know? And there's a few guys that got drunk trying to figure that one out. My life growing up was a bit like Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey into Night. There was alcoholism in one side of the family and mental illness on the other side of the family. And I'm not here to point any fingers, but when I took my first breath, I blew a .28, you know? And I could have been taken from the delivery room right to the AA room, you know? You see that newcomer in the bassinet? Give him a white chip and make sure he doesn't swallow it, you know? I don't know why I'm an alcoholic. All I know is, and I love that about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, we are not here to solve the alcoholic riddle. We don't get into that stuff. All we know is, these are the things we have done. I love that about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's pure pragmatism. They kept what worked, and they got rid of what didn't work. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I never took sobriety for granted. But on the eve of AA's birthday, I'll tell you this, I took AA for granted. Yeah, there's a meeting down there 3 nights a week. What's the big deal? And then you hang around here and you learn about our history and what people did, the pioneers that did in Alcoholics Anonymous, so the doors were open for me. It's an incredible thing. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous is like the thing that I got going. It's almost like building an airplane and learning to fly it at the same time. It's almost an incredible event. And I'm so glad to be here. So as I said, they're growing up in Northern Ireland, and I've experienced every form of drinking. I was a weekend drinker as a kid, a daily drinker, morning drinking, binge drinking. Always looking, as I said, there no coincidence stand in America with an Irish accent. I was a runner, a long distance runner. Always looking for an outside fix, for an inside job. So if I get things lined up out here, then things will fall into place in here. You get the Alcoholics Anonymous, A101, and they tell you it's an inside job. It was only when I started to work on me that these things started to fall into place outside. But you couldn't have told me that. I come over here and made a dash for Rockaway Beach, where I live now. And I don't know if you know Rockaway Beach. You know, some people call it the Irish Riviera, but we call it the cirrhosis by the sea, you know. And it's amazing how the alcoholics got this built-in GPS system. You could blindfold me and put me in a sack. I'm going to find a neighborhood that drinks as much, if not more, than the one I left. And to make matters worse, I got a job as a bartender. Now I'm using the word bar here in the loosest possible text. I worked in a sort of a bar. It was a bar you got thrown into rather than out of, you know. You wiped your feet on the way out, not on the way in, you know. I'll give you a mental picture and then I'll move. This bar had it all. Alcoholics, drug addicts, degenerate gamblers. And that was just the staff. That wasn't even the customers, you know. I'll give you a mental picture and then I'll move on. If you want to see a full set of teeth in this bar, you need 32 customers. You know what I'm talking about, you know. And that's male and female, you know. Every once in a while, a glamour girl with three teeth would stumble into the place, upset the whole ecosystem, you know. But water finds its own level, and so do alcoholics, and I fit it in like a glove. Now, I had nobody saying, Paul, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing with a drink in your hand? Like Bill Wilson says in his story, like going down a ski jump. The worst years, I started hitting hospitals, convulsions, seizures, round the clock drunks, locked up for drink, strapped down for drink, and I would drink again, and I would drink again, and I would drink again, because I had nothing between me and the first drink. Up in this moment in time, June 9th of 2015, I have never beaten an obsession to drink. And I've got in the ring many times. A little child could say, don't get in the ring. But don't get in the ring means don't take a drink. And I don't know how not to take that first drink. So what do? Perhaps you can identify. I get back in the ring and I tell myself, the epitaph of the alcoholic, the doggerel of the drunk, it'll be different this time. I'll watch it. It was her. It was him. It was this. It was that. I take the first drink and I'm off on the well-known spree that Dr. Silkworth talks about in her book. And this didn't happen once or twice, like was said here tonight. Countless. And that's why there's anybody here who's not an alcoholic or a member of Al-Anon, a wonderful fellowship. This disease defies logic and reason. And that's what we do to people. We just squeeze and we squeeze and we squeeze till there's nothing left. And people are like, go away and drink, or go away and don't drink. But you must leave our lives. That's the nature of doing business with an alcoholic like me. If you're unfortunate to be caught in that eddy, that sphere of my influence, you're going down with the ship. That's just the way it is for being an alcoholic. The worst years of my drinking, 27 to 30, I hope, the worst years of my drinking were after I made a firm conviction not to drink anymore. I would do stuff like it says in this book, taking oaths, proclamations, putting axes on calendars. I'll stop for Lent. I'll get back in shape. I'll do this and I'll do that. But I had nothing between me and the first drink, and I always drank again. And the thing about it is, if you're new here tonight, or maybe not so new, it almost killed me. I didn't realize the difference between alcohol and alcoholism. A drinking problem is solved by not drinking, and our book talks about that. It gives two examples, a romantic reason and a medical reason, and those people can stop or moderate. They might even need medical help. But what about the real alcoholic like they talk about? People like this. I suffer from alcoholism, and that little ISM on the end of that word separates me from the normal heavy drinker. My life doesn't get better when I stop drinking. My life gets worse because I'm shackled to self. I got that me on me and I can't get me off of me. I'm ending up in hospitals and I'm coming out. I'll give you one vignette. I collapsed in a bar one night in an alcoholic seizure and was brought to a hospital in Rockaway. I was in a restraining sheet in the convulsions of this disease. And they gave me some Librium, whatever, to get me off the ceiling. And there was a woman standing by the bedside who was near and dear to me at that time in her life, in my life. And I finally took the restraining cuffs off and I took her hand. And I wasn't trying to be cinematic, but I said to her, I don't know why I can't drink, but it's obvious I can't drink. And that's it. I'm done. Finished. It's over. There's a friend of mine says, Paul, if they'd have put you in a lie detector machine, you would have passed with flying colors. Because I meant that. Not at a theoretical, at a visceral level. That's it. But I left that hospital. I didn't have unity. I didn't have service. I didn't have recovery. I didn't know what the problem was, so I sure didn't know what the solution was or the process in between. One more time, it was just me against the first drink. Here's what happens to me when I try to stop drinking without unity, service, and recovery, a 12-step program that helps me find a power greater than me. Here's what happens. Perhaps you can identify. A week goes by. I get this stone in my shoe. I don't know where it came from, but it's there all the time. 2 weeks go by. I get this knot in my stomach. I don't know where it came from, but it's there all the time. 3 weeks go by. The top button of my shirt feels tight all the time. A month goes by. If I get that far, it feels like everybody out there is on my case, even if they're not. Now, that's 30 days without a drink. That's not a drinking problem. That's a living sober problem. And I drank again. And nobody, it talks in our book about being the bewildered one, nobody was any more confused than me when I took that drink. And she said what non-alcoholics say, I got to get away from you before I end up in an asylum. And I say what alcoholics say, I don't need you, I don't need nobody. And I drank for 3 more years after that. Bottoms to bottoms. I remember I would go off the grid for months at a time. My mother in Ireland would track me down. I'm living on the floor of a basement in the Bronx. It's Christmas Eve. She tracks me down and calls me. There's a 5-hour time difference. And she says, Paul, I went to midnight mass and I prayed for you. And I'm saying to myself, don't pray for me. I'm beyond the beyond. I ain't coming back. I was dumb, but I wasn't stupid. But believe me, as Bill Wilson says, it's darkest before the dawn. And as far down as you go with drink, you can come back up in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not going to stand up here like some salesman and promise you the moon and the stars. There's things I lost through drinking. They're not coming back. And there's things you lost through drinking, and they're not coming back either. But thank God for that program. Who among us could live with the guilt and the shame and remorse if it wasn't for the 12 steps of AA to alleviate that? I wasn't a sociopath. I knew the damage I did, the bridges I burned, the things I walked away from. Thank God that that program helped me to rebuild some of those bridges. So I'm here as a result of an old 12-step call in Alcoholics Anonymous. The miracle of AA. 2 men took time out of their lives to give me a life. A miracle. We threw that word around a lot in AA. We're all miracles here tonight on the eve of AA's birthday. The definition of miracle I like is a complete reversal or upheaval of the laws of nature. It's in my nature to be drunk right now, and I'm not. How did that happen? Didn't happen because of me. It happened because of the message. This message that you carried to me in August of 1992. And you brought me to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so glad they didn't have a clipboard at my first meeting, because I would have checked the box for not drinking and would have been delighted with that. And once again, I would have shortchanged myself, because alcohol is only mentioned the first half of the first step. The other 11 and a half steps helped me do what I couldn't do drunk or sober, and that's live out there in God's world under His conditions rather than my demands. Those other 11 and a half steps helped me. What is alcoholism? For me, it's the inability to form a true and lasting partnership with me, with you, or with him. Our book says, I dig 2 pitfalls. I come in too high, or I come in too low. Never just right. Because of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why we don't do the steps, because they're nice. We do them because they're necessary for recovery. If you're new here tonight and you want to get physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally rehabilitated, I had to work this program. Now, I'm not saying the steps are the panacea for every problem, but they brought me to a point in recovery where I could decide what was my work, what was God's work, and if I needed outside help. But as I said here tonight, I come into AA, and I'd like to tell you that I took the ball and I scored a touchdown, but I came in here with old ideas, barroom mentality. And one of them was mentioned twice here tonight. Now, I know there's no one-trick ponies. It's a 12-step program. but I came in with two hefty bags full of garbage. Irish, stoic, don't tell nobody nothing. That was my code of conduct. And I was dying in AA from untreated alcoholism. And you can fool them at 7:30 the coffee pot. I've done it. How's it going, Paul? Oh, it's going wonderful. You know when alcoholism comes to visit me? 2:30 in the morning. With the could-haves, the should-haves, the would-haves, the guilt, the shame, remorse. I'm 2.5 years off drink, and I'm crazier off drink than I was on it. I'm driving out of the Midtown Tunnel one day, and I cut this guy, cut me off. I chased him down and jammed him against the guardrail. I got out of the car like a maniac. This is 2.5 years off drink. There was a man trembling behind the wheel. His wife was crying. His three kids are crying in the back. I was so disgusted. I apologized. I got into the car and I banged my head against the steering wheel. I said, I'm crazier off drink than I was on it. I maxed my credit cards out. And I realized today why I was doing that. I was still looking for an outside fix for an inside job. A bad jacket, feel good for half an hour, but I always end up back at the same equation. Me on me, the man in the glass. I drove to my sponsor's house. Well, I called him my sponsor, but I wasn't using him. And I told him what I just told you. He said, how old were you when this happened? I said, are you listening to me? This happened 20 minutes ago. What do you mean, how old was I when this happened? Maybe this is why I can't get sober. You're not listening. He said, I'll ask you again, how old were you? Harry T. about the psychiatrist that helped Bill Wilson coin that phrase, which is me personified, His Majesty the baby. I want what I want, and I want it right now. I had to put pen to paper and get free and do stuff. It's easy to do the things in Alcoholics Anonymous that you want to do. It's a walk in the park. You know, when I got well in AA, when I did the things I didn't want to do, when I did the things, when I'd done things that I didn't approve of, and one of them was that fourth step. I fought that fourth step, and I fought it, and I fought it, but I'm such an alcoholic. I finally said, they want me to do a fourth step? I'm going to do the best fourth step that anybody's ever done in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. It'll be one for the ages. I wanted my sponsor to stand up at the meeting and go, I just want the group to know that Paul, who I am honored to call my sponsee, recently presented me with the Hamlet of Fourth Steps. I cried, I laughed, I cried, two thumbs way up, you know? Forget about a piece of paper. I got charts and magic markers and highlighters, two pots of coffee going. There's a friend of mine who says, you know what you were like? You were like a dog running on linoleum. A lot of activity, but no progress, you know? And there's no one trick ponies in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I put pen to paper. How do people work? Look at steps 4 through 9. If you look at them, it's preparation followed by action. In 4, I write. In 5, I talk. In 6, I write. In 7, I talk. In 8, I write. In 9, I talk. Preparation followed by action. That's the way normal people operate, and that's the way I had to operate in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the thing about AA, I thought, oh, I do these steps, and I thought these steps, I'm so Irish, not like closed mind. I said, these steps are all very touchy-feely, very warm and fuzzy. You know, I do these steps, the next thing I'll have wind chimes hanging up around the house, you know. I'll be wearing flip-flops even in the wintertime, you know. Joining Oprah's book club. Where does it all end, you know? And I thought to myself, when I did these steps, I'll get to know who I am. And there's a certain degree of freedom in that. But you know when I really got free in Alcoholics Anonymous? You know when great events really came to pass in my life? Yes, when I did the steps. But when I turned round and I took another man through the steps, that's when this program came full circle. And I understood the depth and the weight and the privilege that we have to go to somebody's house or somebody coming to your house on the worst night of their life and you're able to carry this message to them and bring them to Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're new here tonight, or maybe not so new, I believe this and I believe it that I bet my life on it on a daily basis. There's a miracle here with your name on it. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it for you. Come up. Get the life you're meant to have before drink took you down the road. Because I, as my dear friend Liz says, I need you and you need me. Nobody does this alone. If I'm doing AA alone, I'm not doing AA. There's a friend of mine who says it's BB. I said, what's BB? He said, I don't know, but it's not AA. So I thank you for my sobriety on the birthday of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you so much. It's a privilege and honor. Thank you very much.